Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
You know, one of the names that I never thought that I would think of being a good coach is the name Deion Sanders. I actually grew up in Dallas where Deion played for the Cowboys for a good few seasons, and there seems like every weekend there was something on SportsCenter where he was doing something flashy or showy, and so thinking of him as a good coach was never something that came to my mind. But it's absolutely true that he took the Colorado University Buffaloes from being a team that in 2022 was 1-11 to last year being tied for first in the Big 12 Conference. So he did an incredible job as a coach. But in doing that, he had to have some kind of strategy to be able to help his team go from being so poor to becoming more successful. And the truth is, even if his strategy was just that his players learn to respect one another as a team, or that they even take accountability for their actions and their failures, that's still a strategy. Because every coach that's going to do well has to have a good strategy for their team to be successful. Well, this is the last week of August, and so many of us are probably back into our routines when it comes to the school year. If you have elementary kids, you're probably making sure that they've got their homework in the backpack along with any of the supplies they need for the next day so that it gets to their class. If you have a junior hire, you might be kind of tracing out the routes, if you will, for where they need to go and making sure they get there on time so that they can go by their locker, grab the stuff they need, and get to that next class. Or if you're a high school parent, you might be just holding your breath and crossing your fingers that your junior actually gets to the parking lot without getting into an accident. Whatever it is, as parents, we all learn, we all know that we've got to have a game plan when it comes to the school year if we want our kids to be successful. But you know what I wonder this morning? I wonder how many of us also have some kind of strategy for seeing our children's faith successful. Well, this morning, I want us to talk about that a little bit. So if you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to Psalm 127? We'll start reading right there in the beginning in verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Now, if you've been around the church for any amount of time, you probably have heard at least that first verse. But what I want to do is I want us to look down in verse 3, and that's where we're going to start. Look at what Solomon says, and he declares this. Children are a heritage from the Lord, a reward from him. Now, listen, some of your translations might actually say that children are a gift from the Lord. And when I think about that, I think about the striking differences that there are between our Western culture's view on some things and what we would call our Christian worldview. Now, there are a lot of similarities. There's things that we definitely hold in common. Many of the virtues that align, for example, things like being, you know, fiercely individualistic, that we believe in a person's free will and them being responsible with that free will. And I think we both would acknowledge that, you know, when there need to be consequences when someone has affronted the humanity of another person. Yet I don't think there's a clear difference in between these two different beliefs then when it comes to Christian teaching on parenting and children and what the Western view of children is. I came across this quote in my reading the other day, but it's by an author named Christopher West. In his book, Theology of the Body, he argues this, that the Western culture's demoralized view of sexuality in the family has distorted God's gift of sex, and it's relegated it to mere pleasure-seeking. Listen to this quote. Here's what he says. Quote, when pleasure becomes the main goal of sex, society becomes utilitarian. When pleasure is the main goal of sex, people become the means and babies become the obstacle. So we take our pleasure and kill our offspring. Listen, it would take a whole nother message series for me to kind of unpack all of what West is saying there. But for our purposes, I want to see that last little quote and what he says. He says, when pleasure is the main goal, people become the means and babies become the obstacle. Because here's the thing. In Western thought, there seems to be two primary ways that our culture views children. The first is that children are a hindrance, that they're the killjoys to our continued pleasure, if you will. And we all understand, we all know what this means. It's just think about any of the sitcoms that we watch, right? Where you have these two parents that are talking and they're talking about with their friends, yeah, we used to have fun, or we used to be spontaneous, but then we had children, right? There's something being communicated by them in that. They're saying that children are now a deterrent for them to have a fruitful or joyful life. They've become an obstacle for them. Well, many people in our culture, they do. They see children as a barrier to fulfilling the desires that they have. And even at the worst, some go as far as to see children as an obstacle that gets in the way of them achieving their dreams. The year 2023 marked the absolute lowest birth rate in U.S. history. And according to the researchers, they said that there are three top contributing factors to this decrease. The first was a higher level of educational and career opportunities for women. The second was a later life, marriage, and family planning for couples. And then the last was a fear of economic instability. But all of these stats, they show us one thing, that child rearing within the United States has become increasingly less important for our general society. But there is another way that our society and our culture also views children. They see children as a means to achieve their personal success. So unlike the first group that labels children an obstacle to success, the second group wants to fulfill their personal dreams through their children. And we've all seen this far too often, right? We've seen the dad who sits there at the volleyball or basketball game and he's critiquing everything that his daughter does, and he believes that if she'll just show a little more effort, if she'll just work a little bit harder, that surely she'll be able to get into college and get a scholarship. In fact, he believes it so much that he'll go work extra just to make sure that she can get to a select league or have private lessons with a coach, because he just knows that if she can get onto that volleyball team in college, if she can just get that scholarship, that she is going to be set and successful for life. And all the while, his daughter can't stand that sport anymore. And the only reason that she still plays is because that's the only time that she gets any kind of affirmation from her dad. Now, while these views kind of represent our culture at large, as Christians, as the church, we have to ask the question, what is God's word? What does Scripture say about parenting and children? Well, the psalmist tells us, as we just looked at a minute ago, that children are a gift from the Lord. But he also says, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. You know, I wonder how many of you grew up into a family like mine where when you were given a gift, you were supposed to be responsible with that gift. Let me give you an example. So let's say at Christmas time, you were given a guitar. Your parents didn't expect for you to just put that guitar over in the corner underneath your bed and just look at it, right? They expected for you to learn how to play the guitar. That's exactly what the psalmist is trying to say here in Psalm 127. He says that children are a gift that God desires for us to cultivate and ultimately to send into the world to honor him. I love the imagery that the psalmist is using. I love when he says this, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. You know, this is an aspect of Christian living that we probably don't give enough airtime here at Community Fellowship. But the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6, he says that we are in a war. No, we are not talking about a war where parents are battling to make sure that their kid gets the next thing so that they can have the advantage against another player. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a war that is against what Paul says, the spiritual forces of evil. And listen, there's absolutely no accident that Paul's admonishment, his exhortation to the Ephesian church about the family immediately precedes this idea of spiritual warfare. They're connected. We are in a very real battle. We have a very real enemy. He is the enemy of God. He is the deceiver, the liar, the accuser of men. And he has been on the attack against family since the very beginning. But thankfully, we have the one who is greater, fighting for us. But he's not just fighting for us. He actually also allows us to fight with him, and he prepares us with weapons to be able to fight the enemy alongside him. And even as we raise our children, as we parent our children, he gives us weapons. He gives us a strategy for how we can disciple our children so that we can aim them towards the target of Christ and then release them into the calling that God has on their lives. So what I want to do over these next 2 weeks is I want to give you a 5-part strategy for how we can be intentional as parents in discipling our children. Now, as we lay down this strategy, I kind of want to ask you a question first. If a stranger were to look into your life, if he was to kind of look at your weekly schedule or maybe have a transcript of everything that you say in a day, what would he guess are the most important things in your life? What are your priorities? Now, let me ask an even harder question. Would it be your faith? Would living out a gospel life, a life that's pleasing to Jesus, that honors God, would that be something they see in your life? Because what we have to understand as parents, right from the get-go, is that no matter what you think, you are absolutely already modeling your priorities to your children. You're showing them what is most valuable. They're watching you. They see everything. And as kids, a lot of times, they're going to take their own values, their own priorities from us as their parents. You see, we're already aiming their heart at something. We're already aiming their heart at what we value most. Some of you may have heard this song before, but it's a country song by Rodney Atkins. And he says this, driving through town, just my boy and me, with a Happy Meal in his booster seat, knowing that he couldn't have the toy till his nuggets were gone. Green traffic light turned straight to red. I hit my brakes and mumbled under my breath. His fries went a-flying, and his orange drink covered his lap. Well, then my 4-year-old said a 4-letter word that started with S, and I was concerned. So I said, son, now where'd you learn to talk like that? He said, I've been watching you, Dad. Ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo. I want to be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. We got cowboy boots and camo pants. Yeah, we're just alike. Hey, ain't we, Dad? I want to do everything you do. So I've been watching you. Listen, we can tell our children all day long, don't say that. Don't do that. But the reality is we pass on our priorities. We pass on our values, not merely in what we say, but primarily by what we do. So here's what I want to do. I want to look at another Old Testament passage. This comes from the book of Deuteronomy. So if you'll turn there with me, Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want us to look at this really important passage on parenting. Now, in Deuteronomy 6, Moses has just reread to the nation of Israel all of God's law that was given to them at Mount Sinai. And right now, they're about to enter into the promised land, the land that God had promised to them as they were miraculously freed from Egypt. And so Moses is reminding the people of this special relationship that they have as God's people and what he desires from them as God's people. So let's look at it. Deuteronomy 6:4 is where he starts. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Okay, so the first thing that we have to see in this passage is that Moses is instructing the entire community of Israel, but really he's pointing to the parents. He's looking at the parents and he says, listen to this, listen, hear me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. He starts with the parents. So listen, in our discipleship of our children, we have to understand that as parents, we first have to be the ones who love God. It starts with us. That's where Moses starts. He doesn't jump right into giving some kind of magic bullet answer for how their kids are going to love God. He says, no, it starts with you as parents. You have to love God. You have to model that for them. He's essentially saying, if you want your children to love God, you have to love him first. And then look at how we're called to love God. He says, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. So they're called to love God with everything in them. In the Gospels, when Jesus was asked by a leader what the greatest command was in all of Scripture, in all 613 of the Old Testament laws, Jesus points us to this one. He says, love God with everything in you. Love God with everything you have. Then Moses explains to us here in Deuteronomy that as a result of that, he says that if you love God with everything in you, you are going to obey his commands. That's a natural result of loving God with all of who you are. You're going to see his commands and you're going to be obedient to his commands. Because if you want to love God with everything, you will obey God. This is even what Jesus says. Jesus tells us this in John 14. He's talking to his disciples and he says, if you love me, keep my commands. Keep my commands. So I want us to make sure that we understand this, parents. We have to absolutely get this. This first thing is crucial. That as parents, if we want our children to love Jesus, we first have to love him. We have to love him. They have to see how he informs and he impacts every aspect of our lives. So here's a question. Do they see that? Do your children see that in you? Do they see that you love Jesus so much that you spend time with him, that you are up early spending time with him, reading the word, spending time in prayer? Have they heard you pray? And we're not just talking about a mealtime. We're not just talking about blessing over the meal. We're talking about, do you bring hard circumstances to the Lord? And have they witnessed you pray over those things in your life? Do you bring before him everything and model that to your children? Several years ago, we had some really good friends who actually taught me a ton about parenting. They had a few children that were a little bit older than our girls at the time, but they also had a few that were kind of right around the same age. And one of those children that was right around the same age, he came in one afternoon and he had scraped up his arm. And I remember his mom going over real quick to the kitchen counter, grabbing some bandages to kind of bandage up his arm, and then she sat down back with him at the kitchen table. And she listened to him as he shared what had happened and how he had gotten cut. And then she just took a few minutes to begin praying over his wound, that he would be healed. And at first I was kind of struck with, like, this is silly. Like, that's not that important, kind of spending some weird time on this, such a weird prayer to pray. But then the more I thought about it, the more I realized what she was doing. She was modeling her faith. She was modeling her love of Jesus. Because she was showing him a few things about prayer in the midst of that. That, first of all, she was showing how that the first response that we should have to anything is to bring it to the Lord in prayer. And the other thing that was really cool is she was showing him that there's nothing too big or nothing too little to bring before the Lord. She was modeling her faith. She was modeling her love of Jesus. And this is the first part of God's strategy for us. If we're going to disciple our children, if we really want them to love the Lord, the first part of this is that we learn to model a genuine love relationship with God by centering ourselves on Christ. That everything, every aspect, every part of our life is centered on Jesus in the midst of our lives. Listen, if you were hoping for five quick tips on how to have a new kid by Monday, I'm sorry, you're not going to get that from this particular series. But the truth is, if we really want our kids to love Jesus, if we really want them to love Jesus, then we, as we model that, as we model this real relationship, there are going to be times where they see some of the messiness. There's going to be times where we come and we confess that we've missed it, that we've messed up, that we sin, that we have weaknesses, and that takes time. That takes time within our child's life to watch us model out and live out a faith that's centered on Christ. But the truth is, it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it. So after the teaching the people to demonstrate the sincerity of their love for God by being obedient to him and walking in his commands, Moses then begins to point parents to the next part of God's discipleship strategy. Look at verse 7. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. The NIV uses the word here, impress. Now, you may have a different translation, and it might say something like teaching them diligently, okay? Both conveying the same idea. But really, in the Hebrew, the root of this word, the root for the word impress means to sharpen. Now, I want you to remember how the psalmist compared children to arrows in Psalm 127. Now, there are probably very few of us who ever have whittled down an arrow for shooting it. But it's a process. It's a lengthy process. It's time intensive. It takes time to carve and to whittle out the little notches that are in a little piece of wood, a little branch. It takes time to be able to do that, whittling it down and making sure that it's smooth and that it's consistent so that it can fly through the air and be accurate as it's going through the air. But that's exactly the idea that's conveyed to parents here, that they carve out intentional and consistent time within their day to point their children's hearts back to God, that they're pointing their children's heart back to the Lord. So this is the second part of the strategy. It means that we set aside, or that maybe we even build intentional time into your family's rhythm to think about and to talk about the gospel. Now, we're not talking about what the church is supposed to do, because that's not who Moses is talking to. Moses is talking primarily to the parents. It's their responsibility to talk about and to teach their children about their faith in God. It's their responsibility. Now, I know that that might seem overwhelming and might feel a little bit much for you, especially if you have never done something like that. But that's what's so incredible about God's word right here. That's what's incredible about what Moses is about to do. Because Moses is about to give the people of Israel these natural times within their day that they can direct their kids' hearts back to the Lord. And that's exactly what we should be understanding from this too, is looking at the natural times in our day that we can point our children back to God. Look at what he says. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Now listen, maybe when you hear Moses say that, you're thinking, we don't have any time to sit down, James. I mean, between after school athletics and then 4-H and then homework, man, we're doing good just to get our children in bed at a good time. Listen, I get it. I absolutely understand. I have been in EBE for 2 years now. I get the demands. I get the pressures a lot of times that are on our children. I absolutely understand. But I want to encourage you something. Start somewhere and start small. It doesn't have to be a big deal. Start somewhere and start small. I've mentioned this before, but I believe the table is extremely important for discipleship, not just within the church, although that is absolutely true as well, but within our families. I believe the table is important. In fact, as a family, we make mealtime a priority. We used to be able to do both breakfast and dinner and kind of be strategic in both of those areas, but because of the kind of constraints on our schedule of late, we can't do that. So we just make breakfast a priority. We make it something that's important. So we all sit down and we eat breakfast together. We do a short little devotion, and then we pray over the day. And it's never anything long. It's just a couple of moments, a couple of minutes that we spend together just kind of pointing our hearts back to Jesus. But it's absolutely important. And I want to make sure that I spend the time doing it. It's not easy. I can tell you it's not easy. In fact, I got to get up 45 minutes earlier just to be able to spend time with my children in doing that. And kind of getting things ready and preparing myself for the day even. But I believe it's that important. Jesus is our great prize. And if we want for them to see how important it should be in their lives, then we've got to make that a priority. We've got to spend the time doing it. So how do you as a family, how do you leverage the already built-in minutes of a day to be able to point your kids back to Jesus, to direct their hearts back to Jesus? Listen, maybe it's an intentional prayer time as you're tucking them into bed. Or maybe it's like us. Maybe you spend a few minutes in the morning at breakfast just reading through a devotion. Or maybe you just kind of capture that time that you're in the car, where you're driving from the house and that real brief drive up to the school, and you just spend a few minutes listening to worship. Whatever it is, be intentional with that time. Try to be specific with that time that you're going to direct your kids' hearts back to Jesus. You know, I've read this on social media several times over the last few weeks and months, but every time I see it, it hits me so hard. It says this: there is a 0.0296% chance that your child will become a professional athlete. Yet there is a 100% chance that your child will stand before Jesus one day. Listen, you can substitute whatever you want in there for professional athlete. It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever you think that you're trying to give your child so that they'll be successful and that they'll have a happy life, substitute that in there. It doesn't matter. Because the truth is, Jesus is the only one who is going to make them feel satisfied. He's the only one that's going to fill them in the first place. But there is a 100% chance that one day they will stand before him. In fact, the scripture says that. It says, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me. Every tongue will acknowledge God. What are you doing to point your kids back to Jesus? To show them the priority of a relationship with him? Listen, as we close out this morning, maybe you kind of recognize as a parent that you don't have a relationship with the Lord, that you've never trusted in what Jesus did for you on the cross by taking on your sins, by giving you the opportunity to restore your relationship with God so that you actually can be loved by him and love him with everything that's in you. This morning, I want to invite you, if that's something that the Lord's putting on your heart, I want to invite you, Pastor Ronald and Philip, they're going to be up here this morning. And they'd love to talk with you about that decision, if that's a decision that you need to make. Well, others of us in the room, maybe we do trust in what Jesus has done. But at the same time, we're feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit that, you know what, I have not made that a priority. I have not shown my children. They would not say that loving Jesus is the most important thing in our family. You know what? Again, Pastor Ronald and Phil, they're going to be here. Maybe you just need to spend some time in prayer. Just confessing that, but then asking them to pray over you that God would just give you a zealousness, that God would give you a desire to love him like that and to show that as an example to your children. They're going to be down here to pray with you. Or maybe finally, maybe you're a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle. And this morning you realize that you haven't been as intentional with your minutes, that just your days, the moments in your day, as God desires for you to be, that he's wanting you to help point children's heart, whether that's being a grandparent or being a parent or being an aunt or uncle, pointing their hearts back to Jesus. This morning, can I just repeat something I said earlier? Start somewhere. Start small. As a way to help you do that, we have a resource for you out in the lobby. It's just a simple resource called Back to School. It's just a back to school guide for you as parents or grandparents to be able to kind of come alongside your kids and to think about intentional ways that you can talk about God. It's also got some really great ideas for things to say over your children to build in them a Christ-like identity, that they know who they are in Jesus. And it's got some other really great ideas for questions that you can kind of ask them to be reminded of, what is a leader and how can I be a leader this school year? So I want to encourage you, if nowhere else, just start there, grab that resource on your way out. But listen, here's the thing that I want us to absolutely understand as we leave. We can start right now. We can start right now. It's not over. It's not too late. Begin building a strategy to disciple your children. Start right now. Because listen, God will take that. The Holy Spirit will take that. And it's going to be incredible to watch as one day you're allowing those arrows, allowing your children to fly into the mission that God has called them to. That's what we desire. That's what it means to begin to be strategic in the discipleship of our children. Let's take a minute to pray for that. Father God, I thank you so much for each parent, for each grandparent, God, each family member in here. And God, I ask that you would help us to seize the moments, as your word says, to number the days, and that we would recognize that you desire this love relationship with us. And God, that you would help us to be an example of that, not just only with our children, but God, with those around us, that they would see how much we love you, how you're in every aspect of who we are, and that they would be drawn into a relationship with you because of that. So Father, right now, would you just give us a zealousness? God, would you give us intentionality, a will, God, to pursue you in those things? God, help us to create a schedule, a time, God, where we can be with you and love you. Father, we're so grateful for who you are, that you're a God that in your word gives us incredible, rich truth for how we can lead our families well. We pray that we would listen to it, pray we would be obedient to it. We pray most of all that you would be honored through it. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you have questions about this week's message or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support community fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.